Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The resurrection is central to our Christian faith, and we're going to reflect on this Good Friday on that historic event. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, we want to begin with a passage in 1 Corinthians 15, and it says, "For I delivered to you," Paul is speaking in verse 3, "as of the first importance what I also received." And he goes on to say that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas. Then he appeared to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Then he appeared to James. And then he appeared to all of the apostles. This was a core Christian doctrinal creed, and it's the earliest one in the New Testament. This would have happened at least in the early 50s when Paul actually delivers this. In other words, it goes back earlier than that because he's receiving this as a handed-down oral tradition that the early Christians, you can picture them saying that, reciting this creed when they gathered together. Paul didn't create this. Paul is delivering what he received. And this was what the early Christians said, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he raised on the third day. He appeared to Cephas or Peter. Then he appeared to the 12, then to 500 people. Then he appeared to James, his earthly brother. And then he appeared to all the disciples. I mean, that's the core Christian doctrine. And 1 Corinthians 15 also says that if Christ is not raised, then our faith is in vain. And so that's why the resurrection is so central to our Christian faith and all of our being.
I know. You know, you think about today, and it's a sad day because Christ took on the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. He went through horrific beatings and hung on a cross and eventually suffocated on our behalf so that we could have the hope of the resurrection and for our faith. So when we think about that and his dying and being crucified and suffocated on our behalf for our sin, we have hope because we know the resurrection is coming 3 days later. So let's dive into that and think about that hope we have as the central foundation of our faith. Jesus' death by crucifixion, the disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead, the conversion of Paul, and the conversion of James.
Yeah, let's break that down piece by piece. You know, as we have taken many trips to Israel and we go to the Garden of Gethsemane, it is an amazing experience because there Jesus actually sweat great drops of blood. We know that there is a rare physical condition that causes that, and that is when someone is under intense stress, that your capillaries actually break and the blood actually comes out of your pores and it looks like you're sweating blood.
That's so, when he was pleading with the Father, right?
And he pled with the Father three times, let this cup pass from me. Yet he knew he was born for that purpose. So you can't even begin to imagine. It wasn't the pain at this point of physical punishment, because he hadn't been physically punished
yet. It was emotional pain.
It was the emotional pain, feeling the weight of sin coming on him.
Right.
So you really begin to see the weight of sin in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he then moves from there to the physical beating and then ultimately to the crucifixion. The crucifixion is an indisputable fact. No doubt it's obviously reported in the Bible and in the early sermons, but it's also reported in early non-biblical writings as well. Christian writings, as well as non-Christian writings. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus, he says, when Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing amongst us, he condemned him to be crucified. Tacitus says Christus, from whom the name Christians had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. The Talmud A Jewish source even says, on the eve of Passover, Yeshua was hanged. It's talking about crucifixion. The crucifixion is mentioned in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21:2, that anyone who is hung on a cross is cursed by God. Galatians 3:13 actually quotes that and says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who is hanged on a tree. So it was the most ignominious death. It was the most painful death. And when you go through that, you're obviously dead. There is no way in the world that someone survives a crucifixion. In fact, most of the time, people will even die before the crucifixion because of the beating being so intense. There's reports of intestines falling out because of the beatings of the whips with all of the shrapnel on the end.
Well, the sword, the soldiers actually put sword in his side, and that proved he was dead as well.
They did, and you see that also when you look at what happened to him on the cross, he went into hypovolemic shock. That is caused by excessive loss of blood, rapid heartbeat, fainting, and thirst. Remember, he says, I thirst.
Right.
The fluid builds up around the lungs and the heart.
And he eventually suffocated.
There is no question. Scholars all over the map, secular as well as non-secular, agree that the crucifixion happened. In other words, Jesus did die physically on the cross on that Good Friday. So now, with that indisputable fact, he didn't just become unconscious. He didn't just appear to the disciples in a battered form. You cannot survive that. He died. That is indisputable. Now you have to determine how in the world were these skeptics and these fearful individuals ultimately transformed after the crucifixion when all hopes had been dashed. All hopes had been dashed. And I think we go to the second point that you mentioned.
Yeah, the disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah, the disciples clearly believed that Jesus rose from the dead. Remember when they're gathered together, that the they're gathered together for fear.
Right.
And they come together, and they're exceptionally fearful. And you have Mary going to the tomb, and she sees an empty tomb. But when she comes back and reports it to the disciples, they don't believe.
Right.
None of them believe. The only one who believed when seeing an empty tomb before seeing Jesus is John himself.
This is one of the most exciting passages of Scripture in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay."
Yeah, and so it's amazing if you were going to create this story and want people to believe something that was just impossible to believe, that a person rose from the dead and is alive. The last person you would use as the first eyewitness is a woman. Just, I'm saying, back then you wouldn't use a woman because they wouldn't be believable.
Right.
And so Jesus did things that were counterculture and restored everyone, women particularly, to the level in which he intended them to be.
Right. And she actually became the first evangelist, which was exciting.
Amazing. So. And she is mentioned, Mary Magdalene, more in the scriptures than many of the disciples are.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses women. Only women were the first eyewitnesses. When Peter and John ran to the tomb, Peter didn't believe. John's the only one who believed by seeing the empty tomb. And then what happens, obviously, is the disciples are transformed. They're transformed because they see the resurrected Jesus. And then we see Paul being converted. Paul was a Pharisaical killer. He was intent on rising up in the judicial areas of the Pharisaical sect and becoming a leader. And he was persecuting and killing Christians. How does somebody like him go from a persecutor of Christians to an evangelist willing to die? It's when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. It is an amazing transformation that occurred with these early Christians. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians says, some of these 500 people that he appeared to, they're still alive today. So you can check out this story. The resurrection of Jesus Christ did happen. It is real. He paid the penalty for your sins on Good Friday, and he rose again, never to die, to give you and I eternal life and total forgiveness. And I pray that on this Good Friday, you encounter the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. May you and your family enjoy this Good Friday and enjoy even more the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.